good evening. Good to see you tonight. I appreciate your interest in coming together and edifying one another and to worship God. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things and making the effort to be here tonight. It says a lot about you and your love for God, and I appreciate that so very much. We're going to continue in our worship to God at this moment by glorifying Him by preaching and teaching His Word. And I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here to my left, your right, to provide you book, chapter, and verse from God's sacred writ for everything that I attend to preach and teach to you here tonight, so you might know where it is that I'm gathering these things. Jesus one time said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." John 12 and verse 48. And so this evening I will provide you book, chapter, and verse from it, from the Word of God, so you might know where it is that we're gathering these things. I appreciate so much the leading of that song and the good reading Brother Nell had a few moments ago from Psalms 19. Sweeter are they than honey and a honeycomb, more to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold. The words of God. I don't know how many sermons Psalms 19 has launched for me. It seems like a great deal of number of them as I think about it and consider it here tonight as I read through that with you all a few moments ago, and we sing through this, we all can understand all the many lessons that God has given us through this blessed psalm here tonight. And what I'd like to do for just a few short moments here this evening is just concentrate on verse 7 and 8. So if you have your Bibles handy and turn to Psalms 19, we're going to feed upon God's Word and just simply look at verses 7 and 8 here this evening that we might have a better understanding, a better appreciation for the Word of God. The first thing there I want you to see and I want you to appreciate as we close this day of worship and get a new week is it says that the law of the Lord is perfect. That is, it is all complete, all by itself. When something is perfect, you just don't want to change it. I can remember one time my mother making a chocolate cake and she's saying, that's perfect. And of course what I want to do, I just kept wanting to touch it. I go, no, don't touch it. It's just perfect. And sure enough, I continued to fool around with it long enough to where it was nowhere remotely as good as it was when she had it made. When something is perfect, when it is complete in and of itself, you don't want to take anything away from it and you don't want to add anything to it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture has been given by the mouths of God, inspiration of God, literally God breathed, is profitable for your doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in right-wayness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't need to add anything to the Bible, the Word of God, and I cannot take anything away from something that is perfect. And that's the reason why Moses would exhort in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, add not unto my words, nor diminish aught from them. Or as the wise man said in Proverbs 30 verse 6, add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar. When you add something to the Word of God, you have taken something perfect, and it is now no longer perfect. But the religions of men seek to change it with their creed books, catechisms, church constitutions. People will still come up with their own teachings other than those that's found in the Bible, the Word of God. The Apostle Paul saw that beginning in the churches of Galatia. We've been studying in the book of Acts. And we saw those blessed churches being established by the gospel preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he asked them the question in his first epistle to them, Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that you so move so quickly away from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on and says, but we, or an angel from heaven, preach unto you any other gospel than what we've already preached to you, let it be accursed. We've said it before, I'm going to say it one more time, Paul said. Though we, that is we apostles, those who have established you, preach anything other than what we've already preached, let him be accursed. Why? Because the law of the Lord is perfect. And that's one of the problems with religious folks today. And the religious leaders that you see in the denominational churches, you might watch on television tonight, you go home and you flip through the channels, they don't appreciate what this good book is, that it is divine, it comes from God. It is the law of the Lord, and it is complete. Someone says, well, the Bible is complete in and of itself, but God has revealed another portion of his perfect words. I beg to differ. Jude said in Jude verse 3, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, which was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend, listen, to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. How many times? Twice? Three times? No, sir. The word of God is perfect, and it was delivered one time. And you and I would do well here this evening to have a better appreciation of the Bible and what it is, why it is. When I stand up here, I say I'm going to give you a book, chapter, and verse. It's not just a cunning little line that I like to say at the beginning of my lessons. It is to remind us that the law of the Lord is perfect, and we best not add anything to it, nor take aught away from it. But he also goes on to say the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God is perfect in converting the soul. Many folks don't seem to understand this. If you look around, you'll find people trying to convert men's souls with everything but the word of God. I appreciate Mark's comment in Bible class this morning. He said he talked to a friend at work who never heard the story of Jericho, who had been to religious services before. I've got friends, I've got family, so do you, who go ostensibly to religious service on a weekly basis, and they hear everything but the words of God. Fun, fitness, fellowship, chili suppers, bowling leagues, softball leagues, gymnasiums, fellowship halls, daycare centers. There was a church in Indianapolis when I was up there working for the Traders Point Church of Christ. It was offering money to come to their services. Someone says, how do we compete? Well, it's according to what it is you're trying to accomplish, you see. If you're interested in a big crowd on Sunday morning, or are you interested in converting lost souls? You see, if you convert no one with such things when you draw them in, for when those things stop, they stop. And the reason why they have to continue to come in more and more and come up with more and more to draw folks in is because that is not satisfying to the soul. You cannot feed a hungry soul with a volleyball game. I don't care how much fun and fitness you have in your brand new gymnasium. It is not satisfying and complete and gives folks that peace that passes understanding that only can come from the Word of God. No, if we're interested in growing with actual spiritual growth and numbers with New Testament Christians, we must continue to offer that which converts the soul, the Word of God. The word of God is perfect in converting the soul. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how people build faith. If you want faith, people, you've got to preach to them the word of God. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. We're interested, I believe, here in saving souls. And how are we going to do that? By preaching the word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, God's chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Oh, that's old and it's archonic. We need a new church. Let's define church in a new way, Brian. Let's bring in big crowds. Paul said, no, the foolishness of preaching saves the soul. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein you received, wherein you stand, and by which also, watch it, you're saved. It's the word of God that I preach to you that has built you up, has caused you to believe, that has converted your soul, and has saved you in the sight of God. In Acts 2 and verse 22, as the Apostle Peter stood up on that occasion, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. It was the words. It wasn't going to be some sign. It wasn't going to be some vision. It wasn't going to be some miracle. It wasn't going to be, wow, what a wonderful brass band you have. You men of Israel, hear these words. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In Acts 2 and verse 41, actually, those who gladly received the word were baptized. It was the word that was proclaimed. It was the word who did the cutting, and it was the word that they obeyed that converted the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul. But also, it says it is sure. The Word of God is sure. In a time when nothing seems to stay the same, we live in a time when people feel so unstable. They long for something sure, something to hold on to, something that will not change. I can remember, it must have been 1989, 1990. I'd recently moved to Columbus, Ohio, and I was listening one evening to a radio program that was relatively popular there in Columbus, Ohio, and the fellow was bemoaning how the denominational church that he was a member of was now embracing homosexuality. And he said, when I was a child, that was sin. And I just asked myself the question, what's changed? I thought that was a brilliant question to ask. Wasn't the Church of Christ preacher? It was a fellow that's involved in the denominational church, and nothing was sure, nothing was lasting. Things change as the opinions of men, when there are lusts which they wish to entice, when every man, as the judge one time said, did that which was right in their own eyes. Things change, but the Word of God is sure. All thy commandments are faithful. Psalms 119, verse 86. O Lord, thy law is settled forever in heaven. It is settled. It is complete. The matter's been considered and the word is settled. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Oh, those parchment skins, those animal skins in which those words originally were written on have long since perished and corrupted and gone away. But the words still stand. The message is sure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall never pass away. The words of God are sure, making wise the simple. There is a book written called Living Wisely. And it documents how you should eat, live, treat others to be successful and happy. I submit to you this evening that there is no greater volume that has ever been written that can help one live in this life more happy and more successful than this volume we're talking about tonight, the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God is sure, it is everlasting, and it makes wise the simple. That is, those of us who may not be overly educated can still be very wise in this world and how we live our life and how we conduct our life without a Harvard Law degree, because the commandments of God make wise the simple. David said in Psalms 119, verse 98, thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. No matter what your problem is, you can find the right advice from God. One of my memory verses my father gave me in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. According to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Some things in this life, some things in some subjects. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have marital problems? Turn to the Word of God. You want to be successful? Turn to the Word of God. You want to have a good name? Turn to the Word of God. You want to avoid foolish and hurtful lust? Turn to the Word of God. You wish to find joy unspeakable? Turn to the Word of God. You wish to have a peace that passes understanding? Be obedient to the commandments of God. Peter said, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him go away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You want to be happy? Follow the advice of the Word of God. You want to save yourself? Peter, Sir Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Word of God is sure, making wise the simple. And I like this one. It's right. Don't you like to be right? I got to tell you, there'd be times that I would talk to a friend or a family member and all of a sudden it would occur to me, they're right. I got to tell you, I'd have liked it better if I'd been right. I want you to understand that no matter what the subject matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God has the right answer. In Psalms 119, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. It is the truth in any subject matter that you wish to discuss. Study to show thyself approved unto God, Paul said, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pilate asked the question one time, what is truth? The truth is the word of God. It's not found in the halls of Purdue University. If it is, it's not because folks have come up with it on their own. It is because they have stumbled along the truths that have been divinely revealed to us long ago from the Word of God. Thy Word is true from the beginning. Psalms 119, verse 160. The problem with many religious folks again today is they do not appreciate this volume for what it is, the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. My second memory verse, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, thy laws and thy statutes that you give me this day are for my good always, always, sometimes no, always. Why? Because it's the truth. God tells us the truth. And that's one thing I like about serving our God, is that he tells us the truth. And no wonder the wise man would say in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. The word of God is right. But also, it rejoices the heart. David said in Psalm 119 verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can you imagine coming upon really what he's saying there? It's like someone who came across a great deal of treasure. You're walking up and down the banks of Blue River in Borden, Indiana, or Pekin, Indiana, and lo and behold, there is a treasure chest full of treasure. I got to tell you, for a moment, I'd be really, really happy. David said, my word, the word of God, reading it, studying upon it, the promises that he has made me are greater than all the spoils that I can find. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath made me alive. Wherefore, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Whose words? What word? The word of God. I can tell you one book that's going to be pulled out anytime there is sorrow, anytime there is pain. You know what book that is, don't you? It's right here. Bible, the Word of God. Why? Because it rejoices the heart. Can you appreciate this good book? You ever find yourself during the week and you feel yourself like you're a little down? I mean, there's a number of things I would exhort you to do, but one of the things I'd exhort you to do is open up this good book, begin to read it, begin to study it, and pray over it. Because the Word of God is right, rejoicing the heart. Also, I read that it is pure. It is pure. 99 of 44, 100? No, it's pure. Very pure. The wise man said in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. Pure. What do you think of when you think of purity? That's the way it is with the word of God. And what if I just add a little bit of spoil to something that is pure? Is it pure any longer? Or have I destroyed it? I want you to understand that every little bit of my opinion, anytime I want to add something to it, every time I want to soften some stance, everything, I want to take something away from something that is pure, it is no longer pure. The Word of God is pure. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, why don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So it is with the words of God. We add our opinions to it, our church traditions here, our I think it ought to be, or I want it to be this way. And you have spoiled something that is pure. The word of God is not just pure, it's very pure. And finally, in the verse 8, I want you to see this, enlightening the eyes. The word of God will open your eyes to a number of things. It enlightens you. I can still remember being on vacation down in Gatlinburg, and my daughter was having trouble with her math class. And we were sitting there and we were talking, and I was trying to come up with every other way to try to help her understand the concept that we were studying at the time. Couldn't have been much more than adding, subtracting, or I couldn't have helped. But we were just going through it, and I can still remember all of a sudden her eyes lit up. She got it. She understood it. Enlightening to the eyes. And I've thought about that as I've meditated upon the Word of God, as I invite you all and encourage you all to do. What's it mean? The Word of God is enlightening to your eyes. I tell you what it means to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that a light bulb comes on. It opens up darkness that one time was dark, that now is lit. And I now understand. I now see. Many men wonder, where did the earth come from? Genesis 1 and verse 1, I read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Where did man come from? I read in Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Why am I here? The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What's going to happen to the earth? Now, tell you what's going to happen, Peter said, a great trumpet of God is going to sound, and the elements are going to burn up with a fervent heat. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. What's the destiny of man? Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whatever it is that we've done, whether it's good or whether it's evil. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Many other things does the Word of God enlighten us on that cannot be enumerated at this time. But I want you to understand this, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God is enlightening to the eyes. It has the answers of eternity. It has the answers to the ages. And I want us this evening to have a better appreciation of the Word of God. It is perfect, converting the soul. It is sure, making wise the simple. It is right, rejoicing the heart. It is pure, and enlightened to the eyes. And if we've learned that here this evening, have a better appreciation for the Word of God, then our time will have been spent very profitably. You listen well. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this evening to be obedient to the words of God when Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If I'm talking to someone here tonight that's not done that, you can do that very thing here this evening, and I encourage you to do so, not by my authority, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's something else that we can help you with that the Lord will allow from his sacred volume. We wish to do that for you here this evening. Make your way forward and let us know what it is that we can do, and we will help you to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. We sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to it in any way, come forward now as we stand and sing.
Oh, Lord.